So let's go ahead and pray. Father in heaven, thank you. We say thank you for Jesus. Lord, you changed it all. You can just look at this group and think of us and the testimonies, and you saved us. But you didn't save us to just sit down. You saved us to work the works of God, to believe upon you. And we ask today that our belief would be increased concerning what you taught the Corinthians through letter. And Lord, so thankful. How thankful? So thankful, Lord, that you do things this way. We ask for the Holy Spirit today to teach, but we need these gifts, Lord. So we ask that you would give us these gifts. And it seems, Lord, after prayer today, we also need to be stirred up to use them. So I ask that you would do all this work in your one body. And this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now, just a continuation from last week. So we just really pick up, really in verse 10, we left off right in the middle of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And maybe easy for me to jump right in, but I want to make sure I have you with me. Meaning this, that the Holy Spirit is the giver, right, of the gifts, and he gives gifts differently than most people do, right? Many times we get a fairness going on where we think if we give somebody a gift, we must also give other one the same gift. And that's how my mother-in-law and her twin sister always ended up, they would buy a gift for the other and they'd buy one for themselves. And I watched that for years. I'm like, oh, so you wanted that. And then being twins, they both wanted it. But they would have two of everything. Oh, I've seen this in your house. I see it in your house. So that fairness. Now, I'm not downing them. That's just my observation. Here's how the Holy Spirit is to us. The Holy Spirit distributes the gifts to the entire body. But he knows where you're at in the body. And then if I can convince you, I belong. Just say that between you and the Lord. I belong here. I belong in the body of Christ. Even if you're thinking, well, after all that I've done and just how dirty and filthy my heart really is, you still belong here. He can wash your feet. You don't need to be saved twice. We had it this morning in prayer. You don't need to be born again. Although we might, sometimes if you backslide so far, we might say that to each other. You need to be born again. We understand that you pray to receive Jesus Christ. That new birth is accomplished. Okay? And that's why when Jesus came to wash their feet, he says, you're clean already by the word I have spoken unto you. So if you believed and received the gospel, again, not your performance of walking after the truth of the gospel, but you believed and received, and maybe you walked in this world and your feet got dirty. And then growing up on the farm, when I'd walk through mud, it didn't just stay on my feet, it started to go up my legs. Right? How did these pants get so dirty when I would walk through the fields of mud? And like, wow, the whole thing gets dirty. So you might sense today, again, I'm not using the word feel because I want the Holy Spirit to convict right here for you that, you know what, I feel dirty today. And I sense that my feet aren't clean. I know I'm saved. Okay? I know that I'm saved, but my feet need to be washed again, just as Jesus washed the feet in John 13. If that's you today, come and talk to me right after service. Okay? Because we'll get your feet clean. We'll get you restored and, again, your understanding that Jesus saved you, and you just need your feet washed. You've sinned as a Christian, and you wonder if you went too far. Okay, and that's that working that the Holy Spirit brought up today in prayer. I just introduce it to you now. So if that's you, that's all you're going to think about all teaching long, and then you'll just say, I just got to get this right. Good, right? That's the Lord wants to wash your feet today. So we need these gifts of the Holy Spirit and the oneness of the body, and as if I can convince you, it's one body. Nobody would argue if I stand up here and say that every part of my body is my body. We don't argue in the physical realm because we can see in the physical realm. We don't argue. You look at a person and you say, that's them. All their body parts, again, they have two eyes, they have two ears. I mean, we think of some normalcy to the physical body, but yet this is what the Holy Spirit uses to instruct us so we would agree together in oneness and love of each other, that we could look just as easily at the body of Christ. Again, just stick with the local expression right here, that you could look at everybody and you see everybody who's here. And again, just to get this into your heart and understanding, so this is one body. It's a spiritual body, so you're not going to be able to see it with physical eyes. In fact, we were warned that men look at the outward appearances, but God looks at the heart. So as God distributes these gifts by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Lord, right, the third person of the Trinity, divides these gifts as he distributes them out to each and every member of the body of Christ. We all have the command to love one another. We're all exhorted to, in our relationships with one another, edify this body in love, building it up, strengthening it. I think about this, you know, if you would be hammering nails and you swing with the right hand and you hit the left and you hit the wrong nail and you hit the left thumb, your body doesn't reject that thumb and say, "Wait, you're hurting, get out of here." In fact, the rest of the body actually rushes to, especially with pain. Okay? And so again, just get this understanding of the oneness of the body, because we're to express these gifts that are given to us. In fact, as we've studied this, and now I think we need to have our eyes opened just how often the Holy Spirit is at work in all of our lives. And we need to understand that today. I'm going to pick back up with the four gifts we already covered last week, which was the gifts of word of wisdom. The Spirit gives, verse 8, the word of wisdom. The Holy Spirit gives words of knowledge. Okay? The Holy Spirit gives gifts of faith. I saw one of those this morning, a brand new one. And I can hold to that. That's a gift of faith. Now, I also saw this other thing at work this morning, which was the gift of discerning of spirits, which we're going to cover a little bit here. That's part of our gifts we're going through today. Last week was gift of word of wisdom, the spiritual gift of word of knowledge, the things that God can give to another person that knows what they wouldn't naturally know. The Spirit, anything the Spirit doesn't know? See, the Spirit knows all things. So the Holy Spirit, through that gift, can give knowledge of anything. And sometimes it could be very specific knowledge. Words of knowledge are important. Again, if you think about the witness of the Holy Spirit, that if you're hiding something, and or you think that, again, not in a bad way, I'll give you an example of one, in a good way. There was a stretch of time, if any of you know, not only do I not like squash, I don't like tuna. But we had these cans of tuna, and I kept them for years, that they would be, like, if again, in all these, like, trusting, waiting, praying, asking for daily bread, and living that out in a very real way in our lives, we were down to, like, the next meal we come home from Sunday was going to be one of those tuna cans getting opened up, because we had nothing else to eat in the house. And I'm like, Lord, I don't want to eat tuna. I mean, he knows that already about me. And that, so you're thinking, if you're thinking, well, like, see, you guys don't treat me like God does. You say I should eat squash, right? Where God's not trying to make me eat squash. Likewise, I'm like, I have these reserve cans of tuna. And it's like the last thing I really want to eat. And so, my wife and I were just praying, like, Lord, would you give us groceries today? And as crazy as that might be, I'll attach it to another thing here in a bit, but I didn't want to eat tuna. I'm like, God, I don't want to eat tuna. And that day, someone put a $25 gift card for a grocery store into the Agape box, and it said, for pastor and family. Now, nobody else knew what we were walking through, and this is why I talk about that word of knowledge. So, like, I don't know how you understand that, but that person who did that, you would not look at their intellectual level and say that they could even reason or figure that out. But I know that the Lord gave them a word of knowledge that we needed groceries. Now, why I bring that? That's many years ago, if you're wondering if I'm, like, how I'm eating today. Okay, I'm doing just fine. Okay? But just so you understand this. For us, my wife and I, carrying that prayer before the Lord, we probably brought our kids in on the prayer too at that time. They weren't so little, but even when they were little, we would bring them in on these prayers. And God gave that person a word of knowledge that we needed groceries. Now, he probably didn't sit there and reason it out. I was thinking just simply by the Holy Spirit, again, he has this gift card. He's like, for pastor and family, drops it in the Agape box. What for him may not have been a big deal. Like, oh, here, just give it away. But for us, we asked. And we wanted to know it was God. Because if I told you, again, if you can imagine, because of my place in the church, I'm before you all the time, and if I would say unto you, you know, I need a new car, you guys would probably somehow figure out a way to make it happen. Right? And why I say it in that way is like, I don't make those needs. No, okay, a new car is not a need. Okay, bad example. But if I'm hungry, you know, I'm not going to make those needs known to you, right? Because in answering that call, I know God's going to take care of this. But I do ask you to make your needs known here. So it's not like a double standard. It's just, I want you to know that if you make your needs known here by praying to God and He meets them, you have the same experience I do. Okay? But if you're doing that and He's not meeting your needs and you're sitting there getting mad at God and getting mad at the church because they're not meeting your needs, why isn't anybody following the Holy Spirit in there? Maybe it's just that simple for you. That simple for you to humble yourself and say, hey, can you help us? And just to walk in those things. And so, Heavenly Father, we ask today, Lord, as we study these gifts, Lord, we thank you for the ones we covered. We thank you for that gift of healings we looked at last week. We ask now your Holy Spirit to impart to us the wisdom and understanding of these gifts. And we ask that we'd have them, Lord, and then we'd use them. And those that have been given these would increase yet more and more. And this I pray in Jesus' name, amen. So the way this reads in the Greek, again, the word there, another, in beginning in 9, is a word to describe another of the same kind, right? And again, in the likeness of the gifts that are given, the Holy Spirit distributes these, and these gifts all have a likeness with them. And it's the Greek word allos, the root word, another of the same kind. Now, there's another Greek root word, which is another of a different kind, heteros. We understand that one better, right? Because we use that Greek prefix to describe, you know, what is marriage between a man and a woman. They are very different, yet they are of the same race, human nature, right? Humans, right? You understand that. And so we understand the prefix heteros. This is allos. These are similar in because the giver gives them. Meaning in this body, have you all decided that this is your body and you belong? We're going to study that more next week, but if you decide it now and you decide that the gifts are the instrument that you can love one another, you can use your talents, your abilities, and your gifts to serve the Lord. Okay, and don't think it's limited to the gifts of the Spirit that we're studying. You use those things that He has given you in a talent. I can do this, right? I can play cribbage. I guess I should use that to serve the Lord. Something like, whatever it might be. And again, a ludicrous example, but how about this? If you have a talent, right, or you have a God-given ability, Lord, I can use this to serve you. But don't forget that there's this supernatural part that we have to look at. And why we look at it is because it becomes very important, because without the understanding that this relationship with God through Jesus Christ has a power of godliness in it, we would be just like a social club. And so far, everything I can read and hear and believe and receive, we're called to be one body. So that when we look at each other, we don't look like, oh, that person doesn't really belong, or what do they really do, or I don't like them. I don't like their mannerisms. When they talk, they're just, and you might be degrading another part of the body unknowingly or knowingly. Where are you going? You might be degrading a part of the body unknowingly, and you might be saying they're not a part of me. We're going to cover that next week. But I want to bring this all together today and remember my example from last week, which is valid today. If there was an equal distribution of $500,000 here, I'm sure all of you would say, this is my church. What's my share? How about you just take the spiritual aspect and say, this is my church. God distributes the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Lord, what's my part? What's the part you give me to actually give to another? That's the context. So now that you're fully convinced and you look at each other now and say, that belongs there, and you're not trying to hit the thumb over and over like, get rid of that nail. Why are they doing in church? You know, not like that. But this place and just acceptance of, you know what, this is our body. If one member of the body hurts, suffers, we all suffer with it. Again, if one part of the body has a gift of the Holy Spirit, when we're all together, we all have that gift. And then it can be shared. And this is where I bring us to this one, to another, the working of miracles. This is the same way all the other gifts are. Another, again, given to another, one just like me. See, Holy Spirit goes out of the way in the Greek, so you would understand that these gifts are given to members, and the gifts, though they be different, same Holy Spirit, If you have a gift of discerning of spirits and another has a gift of working of miracles, right? Same Holy Spirit, and which gift is greater? Okay? Now you track how the Holy Spirit did this, is that there isn't a greater gift in that context. It's if you have the gift that's the greatest is the one that you need in the moment. Right? If I'm going to preach the gospel, the gift of tongues isn't necessarily going to help me out. Right? But word of knowledge, word of wisdom, word of prophecy, gift of teaching, very valuable. If the Holy Spirit starts to speak directly to someone in that crowd that gets right to the sin that they've been doing that they haven't repented of, that the Holy Spirit calls them out. Talk about conviction of sin. If the Holy Spirit, through a gift, can expose someone like that. Now, I describe it to us here, and again, I'm laying a groundwork on purpose so that we don't miss where verse 10 starts, to another the working of miracles. Now, literally in the Greek, it's the activity of working power, or activity of mighty deeds. It's the word for miracles here is dunamis. It's rooted back to the you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. This is not miracles the way we would, again, typically think of miracle. Now, dunamis does does come into English miracles in the Gospel of John, water to wine, dunamis. Who has power to turn water to wine? Well, Jesus did, but he can grant that power through gifts of the Spirit to anyone who is born of him, and he has, because the Holy Spirit could give that power. Now, I don't know what you guys would do with that gift, right? Again, you understand why Jesus operated the way he did, and again, but I'm just giving you the understanding. This gift of working of power, I have miracles in my life. And one of the biggest, most important miracles for me is when God gave me a new heart. And I, again, entered, again, saved, backslidden, came back. Jesus came and got me. I'm the one sheep out of the fold. He came and got me. He brought me back. And all I know is I'm going to serve him. I want to serve the Lord. And I started to seek God's will. And then in following that and learning and growing and reading my Bible, and I just come to this place. My heart is so hard towards people, and my heart is wicked. And so I would walk about, and this my activity, I would walk about, and I would pray to God, Lord, would you give me a new heart? I would be reading, and again, poring over the scriptures, put off the old man, put on the new. I did that for about 20 minutes. You need to understand this. In that warring of, again, that life of the scriptures, the truth is there, and I'm trying in my own effort and power to do what? Walk in the scriptures without, again, the power, if you will. I didn't know that. But then I began to pray, Lord, give me a new heart. Give me a new heart to do your will. And I began to sing it. Because there was a song that says, give me a new heart to do your will. And what I'm talking about to us here, the greatest miracle in my life, the active working power of God in my life. And you maybe don't know this, but my wife surely knows this. I have a new heart. Because she saw the other side. Okay? And so she knows what I was like. And why I just offered up to here is this. When you hear the word miracles, our tendency, and you think of that he gives gifts of working of miracles, your tendency is to start here. Well, I haven't seen any. Okay? No, I'm going to address this. That's the sin of unbelief. And I'm just going to describe to you, just because you don't understand that this word that comes into English miracles is far bigger than that. Here's another one. The greatest working power of miracle in my life is the resurrection power of Jesus Christ's life in me today. I have the working power of God in me. It's a miracle. You think about what this really means. So when we read in Acts and you believe what happened on that day of Pentecost, and the word was, you shall receive dunamis, after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Okay? Jesus manifested the dunamis everywhere he went. The working power of God was evident upon him. John, in writing his gospel to convince the world that Jesus is the Son of God and that you can have life if you believe upon him, he uses seven miraculous or seven mighty deeds of working power that transcended the natural realm. And I'm just stating unto you, and I'll say it to you right now, there are many today who say that they believe, right, and they have a form of godliness. But Paul told Timothy, and we have it in the Word, but but they're denying the power thereof. I'm here now to remind you, if you are born again, you have experienced the miraculous power of God in your life. Because you weren't saved by somebody, you know, sprinkling water at you. You can study the scriptures. There is no baptismal regeneration. You're not born again through water baptism. And then sprinkling is not baptism. So if that's you, and you've never, right, and you've never just really considered what this is, you're saved by Jesus Christ. Okay? When the gospel is preached and you believe that and receive that, well, the repentance is the sin of unbelief. You're like, I believe Jesus. Yes, I am a sinner. You can't believe Jesus and say you're not a sinner. And a lot of times the Holy Spirit's working that conviction at the same time. And when you believe and receive that, you may not even have much of an understanding of what you just did. But he saved you. And that's a miraculous thing. If I can just use the word miracle, and I'm not trying to downplay miracle. What I'm trying to do is up our understanding of just how much we rely upon the activity of God's working power in our lives. Now, as I described that to you, this word miracles here, dunamis, again, it's a conjugation of the root word dunamis, and it's a noun. So the way this reads, I mean, it's the working, right? It's the working of miracles. It's the working of God's power. We think of working there as a verb, but it's the working. So it's the effect. Or if you will, Spirit-filled church, it's the activity of God's work in our lives. Now when I studied that and I looked at it and I started to reason, I'm like, oh, we have miracles all the time. We have these gifts of miracles. I mean, I've witnessed these things. And you think about that example of the gift card. For us, that was a miracle. We would pray and ask God, and he would give answer in a mighty working power. We received that gift card. We went right to the store, bought our favorite meal. It lasted for one meal. It wasn't a large amount of money. But I don't know if we've been more thankful and overflowed with joy over what we just said, God, that's a miracle for us. Now, if you have all kinds of money and have need of nothing, you might be the Laodicean church. That's not me. And I just want to hand this off to you. They had need of nothing, so they didn't pray. But where's the miraculous working or the active working power of God for the church of Laodicea? It's not in there. You know how I know it's not in there? Because Jesus wasn't in there. Okay? Now, what I really love about this and what I would hand off to us, and I'm working on your understanding today. If you think of this like the working of miracles and you say, I've never seen one, I'm trying to change you today by my persuasive words, not of logic, but of spiritual wisdom given through gift of teaching. I'll be that straightforward with you. Holy Spirit's teaching us today. He taught me. And as I'm taught by the Holy Spirit, and so if my life of following Christ has no supernatural element, supernatural element is I'm born again. How do you take someone who's already born and then they're regenerated and they're born from above? And Nicodemus is a head scratcher for him. And Jesus says, you're a teacher of Israel and you don't understand the power of God. The Pharisees, right? They always question Jesus, but the Sadducees, and I don't want anybody here to be Sadduceical. We always say Pharisaical, but I coined it, Sadduceical. Remember that they tried to twist Jesus' words and they tried to basically say there is no resurrection, so there's no power of God. These dead bodies don't rise from the dead. They stay dead. Jesus, you're a false teacher. And they would just rail on him. And then he would say, you don't understand, you don't know the scriptures or understand the dunamis of God. See, because I'm believing and hoping in the resurrection from the dead. And so I'm living in the resurrection power of the life born from above now, but I full on expect that this is fulfilled, that I will be resurrected and I will have, and I have the new life now, I will put off this body, right? I won't have to hit the nail anymore. I'll put off this body and I'll be before him and it's supernatural. I'm not going to deny the power of that. See, when I come to this, the gifts of the working of miracles, whatever the supernatural work of God might be, for one, it's salvation. You're preaching the gospel. If they get saved, you certainly didn't do that. You're preaching Christ to another, and they believe and receive. It's not because you're such a great salesman. And it's not the way you presented the gospel. I've like botched up the gospel, and the person's like, yeah, I'll get saved. Because it's the Holy Spirit power. And this is what I'm describing to us. Not only then am I describing this working, the gifts of working of God's power or the miracles. Well, you should be able to then recount the miracles that have been around you and that you have seen, the ones you can't explain. Do you realize that a lot of times, like, how did that happen? That's a miracle. That's God's mighty working power. It might be expressed with the other gifts. This is the whole point. So even when I talk about that gift card, for you, that might not be anything for you, but again, my eyes wide open, we didn't tell a soul, and that person had a word of knowledge, and you say, well, they just did that. What do you mean they just did that? That person never did that before, never did it again. In fact, that never had happened before with any of the people in church, and it never happened again. And so don't try to do it now again. Okay. Now, you see, I hope today that your heart and your mind are being opened unto the teaching of God's Word. So instead of taking these gifts of the Holy Spirit and being tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by deceitful and cunning men who have mishandled deceivingly, just to say the Holy Spirit doesn't do this anymore today. They change doctrines. They change words. I've listened to men teach the Bible and deliberately change the meaning of Greek words. I'm sitting there and I know that. I've studied it. I know what it is. And they twist the scriptures and I'm like, you didn't just do that. Oh, yeah, you did. Now, you need to understand this. As I would hand this off to you, again, that's Ephesians 4:14, that you would no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine concerning the gifts of the Holy Spirit, that you would not be tossed to and fro like children. I mean, seriously, you can convince your young children of anything. So if you've convinced them that Santa's real, you got to fix that. Okay? You do understand children believe anything. You could tell them this is possible, and they're like, okay, Dad, I believe you. Mom, that's right. Whatever you tell them. Now, as the body of Christ, members individually of one another, of children of God, we've been called to grow up. So if I'm telling you to grow up, I'm not saying, you know, why are you a little baby? Right? I'm not saying that. I'm not making fun of you. I'm saying, let's grow up into this and say what? I believe the scriptures. I believe what's written here, that the Holy Spirit gives gifts of spiritual activity to accomplish supernatural, right? Again, Holy Spirit powerful things in our lives. Now, I was told once that a man would, again, never show up in church here by his sister who came here and says, my brother will never be here. Only to see him in person, right? He's here. And then in the end of the service, responding to the gospel, and he gets saved. I'm just going to say unto you, she said it'll never happen. I believe her, right? And when you listen to this man's testimony, and even when the gospel is being preached, there was a phrase that I said that day that he had heard from another one close in his life. And we both said the same thing. And it's like, and that conviction of the Holy Spirit is, again, he probably couldn't understand it. He decides, I needed to be saved. The way he describes it, when I said, if that's you, stand up, he was surprised as anyone else to see himself standing. And all he could say was, again, it wasn't like I came to stand up. I didn't even want to stand up, but I found myself standing. And then, so are you going to tell me that was a miracle that day? Now, do you guys believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit? I know that you do. I know that you do. Have you been tossed to and fro by bad doctrine? Cunning men? So you don't believe in the mighty working power. If you don't believe in miracles, you don't believe in regeneration. It's foundational. It's foundational. And why I see that, God's not trying to change the foundation with the gifts of the Holy Spirit. He's not even changing the Word. In fact, He's bringing it in line with the Word to open our eyes to see it's God's Holy Spirit at work through these gifts of the Spirit that these mighty workings, mighty deeds, now I'll just say it, do you believe Jesus when He said to His apostles, and do you apply it to you? These works that I do, right? You will do greater works than these because I go to the Father. So what's He describing? He's describing a time after He is resurrected from the dead and He is glorified. So when He says, because I go to the Father, He's glorified, He's resurrected. Do you know what He said previously about what's going to happen after He's resurrected and goes to the Father and He's glorified in heaven? He's going to send the Holy Spirit and you're going to have power. You're going to have dunamis. Now, as I describe all this, then we should be looking for the greater works. Now, I have never turned water into wine, never raised anybody from the dead. Okay? But I'll tell you what I have seen is, again, praying with someone, I've watched miracles happen in people's lives. I've watched, again, spiritually paralyzed individuals be healed and get up and walk spiritually. I don't know how you view that. If you would say, oh, that was just persuasive words, then you're denying the power of God. And I believe that this is getting emphasized today on Holy Spirit purpose. So if it's you who has been born again, but you haven't been walking as a Christian and your feet are all dirty and messed up from this world, and you've got lots of guilt and shame over the things that you did after you were saved, that's what that word of prophecy is for today, is come and get your feet washed by Jesus and know that you were saved by Him when you prayed to believe and receive Him. And now He says this, He says, you are clean by the word I've spoken unto you. And if that's you today, you come and get your feet washed and know that He's cleansed you again. Many times when you confess your sins as a Christian, it's a cleansing, right? You confess your sins, He's faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Now, these gifts, I think I've convinced you. If you're not convinced, be convinced now. We have the mighty working power of God here. There's nothing impossible. There's nothing too hard for the Lord. And it's not at our beck and call that we think something should happen. So when you think of working of miracles, think of the Apostle Paul getting saved, Acts 9, on the road. Bright shining light, he goes blind. Ananias comes and prays that he might receive his sight. Working power of God, miracle. Miracle. And he receives the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Miracle. Okay. You understand where this truth and faith, and okay, so that twisting of doctrines, you're not going to lose it if you have the Holy Spirit. You're going to gain Jesus. You're going to gain the Word. You're going to gain understanding. You're not going to be weird. You might already be weird. That's on you. Okay? Because we're going to talk about a couple of these and need to. And if I only get through one verse today, we're good, right? Working of miracles to another prophecy. This gift of prophecy, again, I'll add to it word of prophecy, because the meaning of the word prophecy is to declare the things that God wants to be said and or can be in written form. It could also be in oral form. But it's word of prophecy because the meaning of the word prophecy is to foretell the things that God wants to say. So it can have a future element. Does not need to have a future element. In fact, a word of prophecy many times is God speaking to you in that situation. It can be scripture, doesn't need to be scripture. It can be a phrase, it can be something. Again, if it's helpful for you, test the prophecy by scripture. So if you're hearing that prophecy and you're wondering about it and the Holy Spirit gives you a verse, you take the verse out, you compare it to the prophecy, you test and see, is it of God? Okay, very valuable. Because if you had a word of prophecy, 2 Chronicles 20, Jehoshaphat, they get the battle plans from God. And the battle plans are, you do not need to fight in this battle. What? The army is going to fight against us, and God, you're telling us to what? Do nothing? Now, he didn't tell them to do nothing. See, he told them to stand still and see the salvation of God. Same thing he told Moses. Who fought against the Egyptian army as they were pursuing the children of Israel who crossed over? Again, miraculous power of God to make a way for them to pass through the Red Sea. Who destroyed that army? God did. How do you? He made the wheels fall off the chariots. I mean, seemingly we would say, "Oh, what a coincidence!" See, we need to understand. Okay, and again, just lay this forth in this mighty work of power. Jehoshaphat was told, again, by prophecy, that God would fight for them. The army is opposed against them, and they get the battle plans from a gift of prophecy. Didn't change the Bible, right? Didn't change the foundation. And he even says to them, he encourages the people the next day because he's going to lead them into battle. And he's encouraging them to just stand there. Okay? And he says, you know, you're established in the Word of God and you prosper as you believe the prophets. That prophet was a son of one of the priests and he had the gift of prophecy, or he got it for that day and they got the battle plans. See, gift of prophecy is just like that. It helps you prosper. Never changes the foundation. You lay the foundation, you do the Word of God. Matthew 7, you hear what Jesus says, you do it, you build your life upon the rock, storms come into your life, and you stand. Okay, you remain. But this gift of prophecy comes along, and then these gifts of prophecy that are in church, and then maybe God gives it to you, or you get it for another. Listen, if you're receiving a word for yourself, it's not really prophecy, it's just the Holy Spirit talking to you. See, the gift of prophecy, what changes is it when the Holy Spirit gives you a word for another? Because the Holy Spirit's very able to talk to every one of us in prayer. You ask, right? He gives. You seek, right? You'll find. For whoever asks. So this our normal interaction with God in prayer should be supernatural already to understand. God, who you can't see, hears everything you say. And you can ask him, and he's already said, I will give you an answer. And then when you ask in faith, and then ask in the name of the Son of God, and then you ask believing, now I think you're catching how much we need these gifts of faith, and how much more we need these gifts of prophecy that said, I really don't quite know what this is. And then the Holy Spirit gives another word to somebody else, and they get you right to the depth of your heart and say, how did you know that? I didn't know that. And it's not just wisdom or knowledge, it's prophecy, God foretelling. And even that, sometimes, because if it's yet for future, God can tell the future. We have prophecy of Scripture. No private interpretation of the prophecy of Scripture is valid. You hold to the prophecy of Scripture, these things are going to happen. And why I say it in that way, and then you can base your life upon the prophecy of Scripture. Jesus is returning. He's going to come as a thief. Right? Ezekiel 38 and 39 is going to happen at some time when it's peace and safety and security for Israel, and they drop their security and they drop their walls. Again, that's what Ezekiel 38 says. It's not going to happen today because Israel's on what? High alert. What's going to happen for them that they would be at peace and security and then they would say, we don't have the wall up anymore? That could be right now what we're looking at in the world. We might be entering that peace and security, and at somewhere in there when everyone's called, like, hey, we're good, we solved the Israel problem temporarily. See, that's gift of prophecy of Scripture, and what you do with that. Now, Jehoshaphat convinced the people to trust God's battle plan. I don't know if you thought about Joshua's battle plan that he got from the Lord. We march around the city quietly 6 days in a row. Shh. On that seventh day, we march around seven times and you shout. And God's mighty working power brought those walls down. And by the way, the ruins, the walls were built leaning in. They found, right, in the rubble that the walls were pushed out. They didn't just fall down. there's an evidence of a supernatural working to get those. You don't get a wall that's leaning in to fall out. See, the evidence cries out of the mighty working power of God. These gifts of prophecy is the gifts of the Holy Spirit that if we're again follow the instructions we're told in Scriptures, despise not prophesying. Things that God gives you, foretells you for others. Sometimes it's for the whole church. Sometimes it's for just for you. That the Holy Spirit would give this gift to another and say it to you, and then when you have what God said to you, you can prosper. You're making a decision. You don't know which way this goes. You believe you have God's direction, and you're going to step in that direction, and the Holy Spirit says to you, go. What are you waiting for? Okay, you see how the Holy Spirit can say and do those things through another voice. Gifts, right? You're looking at to another discerning of spirits. I want to encourage you here. Look at your translation. Did somebody add the word ability in 1 Corinthians 12:10 in your version that you're looking at as you open up the word? Because ability's not in there. Okay? And why I say this is there's these translations, especially involved with the Holy Spirit, they add words for understanding that actually change the understanding. Okay? To another, discerning of spirits. That's what the Greek says. Okay? That's in English, by the way, but okay. I'm not adding words. It's one word equivalency. So why I describe that to you is you can think, oh, now I have the ability. That doesn't say that. It's a gift of the Spirit that is given to another in the body of Christ that can say, hey, that which was just said is not the Holy Spirit, but that's another spirit trying to deceive us. That's not the Holy Spirit. Or that person who is pretending that they're saved, they're not really saved. They're pretending. That's discerning of spirits. They're not born of God. So even as I talk to you today about, you know, like you have this Christian life and you were saved a long time ago, but you've walked and your feet are dirty, but and your outward life, you can't tell the difference between saved and unsaved in the natural eye. How important is the gift of discerning of spirits together with what I would say today and say that person isn't saved, or that person is saved, they just live like an unbeliever. Or when you hear a word of prophecy or any one of us talking from our own flesh, and saying, thus saith the Lord. I'm not saying we do that here. But one with discerning of spirits would say, hey, come on, wait a minute, that's just you. Well, you don't wreck the person if you have discerning of spirits in the body of Christ. But we've been out street witnessing. And again, Holy Spirit just showed me one time. Again, I can't say I have discerning of spirits all the time. I sure asked for it because I needed it. And we were out doing street witnessing, and I just took the group because I was on prayer duty. I'm praying that day. And again, just working with a couple young guys to be able to go out and share the gospel in different environments. We're downtown, and I just get their eyes and say, stay away from that one. This guy, he's of a different spirit, but he had a little bit of a following. I said, in all your witnessing, stay away from him right there. Gifts of discerning of spirits so that they wouldn't get what? My job in prayer, but then again, a lot of times I'll sign a guy, all right, you talk to the troubled people who aren't of God so everybody else can go share the gospel. Your job is to occupy the one that's got the devil in him. That's your task today. Occupy him. Don't let him mess with any other soul there. You just keep him occupied. Whatever you got to do to keep him occupied, if you can cast the devil out working in miracles, go ahead. Okay? See, we get ourselves so, again, tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, and say, I haven't seen these working of miracles. I've never cast a devil. I've not. What do you mean they have a demon? See, do you trust the gifts of discerning of spirits with your brothers and sisters? Do you trust the gifts of prophecy with your brothers and sisters? And not because they've earned a reputation with you over having that gift. Because God would love to confound that in you and say, this person, just like he did when the guy who dropped that gift card in there, it's confounding. So I know this was God because I know him. It might be that people say that about you when you have a prophecy. I know this is from God because I know you. Don't get upset at him. Say, I know, right? See, are we that one with each other to then no longer look at each other like, what are you doing? Or who are you? Or, oh, I had a run-in with them in church, and I never reconciled it, so I'm not going to listen to them anymore. That's a lie, because then you're hating your brother. How can you say you love God whom you can see? So these gifts that are given to us, discerning of spirits, very important. Is this of God? Is it not of God? Is what being said, is it of the Holy Spirit? Or is this individual, is it of God or not of God? Discerning of spirits, very necessary. Very good. Okay? Very healthy for us to have that gift. And then we have tongues and interpretation left. Gift of tongues. So if you look at this here, right, you have another discerning of spirits, not the ability to discern spirits. You get the gift of discerning. If you have a translation with the word ability, just cross the word ability out. Okay? Or get a new version. Right? So study in the original languages. Right? So when you're reading, you should know what's in the Greek. And again, it's like, well, I don't know Greek, neither do I. Blue Letter Bible helps me out a lot. Okay? And then I think I know something, I still don't know it. But I can love as I ought to love. See, and what I'm doing with us today is not so you can have the knowledge of the gifts. Look at this, that word. No, what I'm trying to hand over to you is it's not that he gives you ability. He gives you a gift. You may not have much ability, but I just know that person's not of God. You don't even have an ability. You just all you know, you say the Holy Spirit's just saying, that person's not of God, don't follow them. Don't follow their instructions, don't follow their advice. Or to say that person is of God, okay, and listen to them. That might be a discerning of spirits kind of interaction, and it's not an ability. You're saying, how do you know that? Gift. Now, same thing with tongues, right? Gifts. Now here it's interesting in the Greek where it says to another, different kinds of tongues. And you look at it, oh, diverse, right? Diverse kinds of tongues. Diverse is in italics. Why'd they put that in there? Because right there the Greek word switches from allos, and it's the only place in the list of the gifts where it goes to heteros. Thus, understanding that with this gift, that it's not just one tongue. It's a gift of tongues, but there's gifts of other or different tongues. And that's why it comes in the way it does. And you can look at all the English translations and they're trying to capture what's in the Greek so you could understand different kinds of tongues. The word there for kind is the same word that would be rooted in, like we would say, generation or nation or peoples. Paul describes later in chapter 14, tongues of men and tongues of angels. So the word there that would get generation is not limited to human tongues. A lot of people have been tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning and craftiness of deceitful men who lie in wait to deceive, just to say unto you, there is no gift of tongues, that it's not of God. And I'm simply saying to you, it's written here that God gives the gift of tongues, and the Holy Spirit is the giver of those gifts, and he gives difference, right? Diverse kinds of tongues, languages, if you will. Or again, tongues, literal tongue. What do we use to speak with? Okay? I've never spoken with my ear. Okay? I've never spoken with any other part of my body except with my tongue. No, it's addressed a bit because we've all spoken things, and James covers what the tongue's really like. But in this gift of tongues by the Holy Spirit, that he gives gifts of tongues, and chapter 14 says that is a man or a woman, a person speaking to God. That's the truth of the gift of tongues. It's given to the one who's received that gift so they can speak in the Spirit to God. And again, our understanding is unfruitful if we have that gift of tongues. We can't understand what we're saying. Sometimes that's a hang-up in receiving the gift. Or, again, let me rephrase that. It's a hang-up in using the gift. I'm not going to say anything that I don't understand. In fact, the gift of tongues comes with this truth that your understanding is unfruitful unless there's the gift of interpretation that goes with it. If you've heard of the word hermeneutics in your Bible interpretation, the rules and laws of hermeneutics, it's the Greek word. Well, guess what? Interpretation is this word here which we would get our hermeneia. Again, it's an interpretation, not a translation. It's not Google Translate. Okay? Or whatever other AI you use to translate a language. How are they doing? Are they getting more accurate? Well, they're going to be pretty accurate. Okay, because all the data now is mounting up, and the words, the inflections, even, and especially when you have AI, like basically like taking all the what words and slang people would say, and they keep adjusting it. So this is going to remove, again, through the computers, it's going to remove the confusion and separation of languages that God brought at the Tower of Babel. This is man once again building the tower to rise up above God and not need God, and they're accomplishing it by saying, you can have your own tongue, and they're working on lifetime stuff. Like spoken, they have devices that you can put in your ear that will hear what the other person's saying and switch it to your language. So the push is to once again rise above God, who confounded the languages because mankind was gathering together in a prideful way to accomplish whatever they wanted to accomplish against God. I'm reminded here, the Holy Spirit has given this gift of tongues. You read in Acts 2, the men there who received that gift of tongues on the day of Pentecost, they're praising God. And then others around, they're praising God in these unknown tongues to them. So you might hear the word, you might see the word unknown as you study this. And we'll go through 1 Corinthians 14. The idea of the gift of tongues and the difference of them, it's another tongue than your native tongue, English as your first language. But what if you speak seven languages? And if you speak any of those seven languages, that's not gift of tongues. That's why that word is different in there. It's that which is not known to the one who's speaking it. But on that day of Pentecost, they all heard the praises of God in their own language. Now some, again, carried about by every wind of doctrine, have said, it really wasn't the gift of tongues, it was a gift of hearing. Where did you get that? Because it doesn't say that in the Bible. That means you imagined yourself, in order to downplay the gift of tongues, that you introduced and added to God's word and said it was a gift of hearing. Have you guys ever heard of a gift of hearing where you have one of those devices within you that somebody talks in one language and you hear another? No, they were speaking those tongues. And we need to understand that God gives these gifts. And so God desires to give these gifts. And we're going to talk about the earnest desire. We're going to talk about how he distributes the gifts. And I just say it right here. The gift of tongues is not the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Again, that's another doctrine that has been cleverly devised. And I say, I would just rather go with discerning of spirits rather than evidence of tongues, meaning baptism with the Holy Spirit. I'll just stick with what God gave us. And why I say it to us is that hermeneia, the interpretation, it's not a translation. When one is praising God in an unknown tongue, it might be unknown to everybody in the room. We say, well, it didn't sound like a known language in the world. That's not in the Bible. I have had so many people give me their bad doctrines as I just teach this and then exhort and encourage them. So I'm constantly speaking the truth in love to them, Ephesians 4:15. 4:14, as children tossed to and fro, carried about by every wind of doctrine, so I'm speaking the truth in love to you today from the pulpit. The gift of tongues, right, is of God. It's a gift of the Holy Spirit, and he gives unknown language that is not in your understanding or maybe in the understanding of anybody else in this world. But the gift of interpretation, the Spirit will give what that person is saying unto God so that you can agree and say, amen, that's the Lord. Because if I stand up here and start praising God in the known tongue, some of you are going to like, that's right, amen. I too, that's how I think about God. We're worshiping, and what are you doing in worship? Not only am I worshiping God, but as I'm saying amen. I'm agreeing. I'm like, we're praising God. But the same thing happens if you have the gift of tongues and you're worshiping or praying to God in that unknown tongue. Your understanding is unfruitful. You don't know what you're saying, okay? But the Spirit knows. And then the Spirit can give a gift to another who's in that hearing, and they can give hermeneia, interpretation of that time. That's also a gift. How did you know that? If you start saying, well, in all of my study of root words and well, you know, back at the Tower of Babel, I've thought about these things a lot. How God does languages and root words. And it's a gift. It's a gift. It is not intellectual. It's not translation. If it was translation, then you better go back to the Tower of Babel and sort out all your sources and Semitic languages, and then you get on to, and then the Latin languages, and that's all intellect. That's study, and I'm not down on the study of languages and doing those things. We need it for Bible interpretation. You don't use gifts of the Spirit. Bible translation. It's not Bible interpretation, it's Bible translation. We want all that study. You get that? So, on a ending with that, I'll end here with a nice, again, recent funny moment for me. When we were in Africa, and we're using a translator. When I've gone to Mexico, I use a translator. I'm adapted to teaching half the material in twice the time. Okay? So I'm not trying to present, you know, like, why does he say so much here? Because I don't need a translator. We're in Africa, and my pastor stands up and he just starts in tongues. Right? He just starts in tongues openly, and you should have seen his translator. Oh, he said, oh, you're a translator, not an interpreter. Got it. But there were the men there, the chaplains who caught that, and they started laughing. Because the Holy Spirit gives gifts of tongues, he gives gifts of interpretation. But to the translator, and so Paul says in church, he says, I'd rather speak 5 words of prophecy or instruction or teaching rather than 10,000 words in tongues. Because when we're seeking that understanding and the Spirit's teaching, and I thought about this today, am I going to put tongues as a demonstration? Absolutely not. Okay? But hopefully today you've had the understanding and that the teaching today has, you've been pulled all kinds of ways with these gifts of the Holy Spirit, the misunderstanding, what other doctrines have been taught, and just go with the Scriptures. And listen, if you have a gift, it doesn't make you more mature. And if you have a gift, it doesn't make you smarter. We all learn as these gifts, like prophecy, like, oh, that's what the Holy Spirit wants to say to us today. The guy who gave that prophecy to Jehoshaphat, that your battle plan is stand still, it wasn't because he was a tactician. You know, and they have to decide, are they going to take the words of prophecy or are they going to take the advice and counsel of the commander of the army? Well, Joshua, in the book of Joshua, luckily it was both the same. Commander of the army was Lord of all. And you know, you really understand the book of Joshua, what was it? Worship and follow me and I'll take care of everything. Obey me, I got this covered, I'll fight all the battles. You'll get victory after victory. And when they did sin, then they had a lot to recover back to obedience. So here's my closing word before we get to this today for communion. My closing word is this. You believe in the mighty working power of God, the miracles. And I believe we had a gift of prophecy that said somebody today needs their feet washed. They're not quite certain because they've sinned so much as a Christian. Are they really clean before God? I believe that. Okay? So when we come to communion today, come and do something very simple and wonderful. Remember Jesus. Remember his death. Remember his beatings. Remember how he suffered and died for sin of the world. How he accomplishes that death so that you could receive life. Okay? Just again, and if that place in you, like, I know that's true between me and the Holy Spirit. Jesus saved me. Okay? Just remember and rejoice in that between you and him. Just remember him. But if your mind wanders to sin, and I'm not sure, and I don't know if this was all taken care of. That's you today who needs your feet washed. If you have testimony of having believed and received the gospel previously, and you're still, as you come to communion today, still like, I'm just so dirty, like inside, then that's where you need that foot washing to say, you're clean when you believed and received the gospel. Now Jesus just needs to wash your feet so you can get up and walk in cleanness. So Father in heaven, thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for gifts of the Holy Spirit. You're the giver. We see your working power everywhere in our lives. Just ask now today, Lord, that you would give a good remembrance of Jesus Christ to each and every one of your people. Lord, thank you for the gifts of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.